Which Way LA is made possible in part by the Ralph M. Parsons Foundation, the Nathan Cummings Foundation, the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation, and the John Randolph Haynes and Dora Haynes Foundation, which supports study and research into policy issues of the Los Angeles region.
Los Angeles gangs, politics, and money. Hello again, I'm Armin Alney, and this is Which Way L.A., KCRW's ongoing series on the issues Southern Californians care about. Mayor Villaraigosa says gangs are his number one priority, but he admits his budget provides just part of what's needed to deal with a problem that has plagued L.A. for generations. He and the city council call first for an audit of existing programs. Tonight, does that mean just another study or a real effort to determine what works and what doesn't? Will it be followed up with accountability so that future money won't be spent on what's failed in the past? First, here's the news. We're only back with Which Way LA on KCRW. Mayor Villaraigosa says gangs are his number one priority, although his current budget admittedly offers only a down payment on what it'll take to cope with the problem. In the past, he says money has been thrown away on programs that failed, so he wants City Controller Laura Chick to perform an audit to determine where future funding would be most effective. She initially welcomed the job, but then backed away, saying the city council not only wanted to micromanage, but wouldn't come up with the money to do it right. Controller Chick joins us now. Laura Chick, as always, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me, Warren.
And I understand you have reconsidered and are now talking to the council about actually performing the audit.
Well, and let me just set the record straight. It's not reconsidering, and I didn't walk away. I got to a point of frustration where I had been sitting and waiting for months now to get the money. It's about $500,000, and also the understanding with the council that I needed a good 6-month timeline. And what finally happened is that, you know, the money not coming, a conversation with the chair of the ad hoc gang committee, who said we
That's
really
That's Janice Hunt.
No, it's Councilman Cardenas.
Excuse me.
Who understandably is in a hurry and said, no, we need to have this by the end of the summer. And I said, well, I've always said I needed 6 months from the start date. I have an outside contracted auditor ready to start with a scope of work written. I can't keep dangling a business person who's waiting for me to say, yes, I have the money, we're ready for you to start. So I basically said, well, I can't keep waiting. It looks like this isn't going to be a go. So I haven't changed my mind. I have a passion for doing this. I'm a social worker, and I'm a council member who was on an ad hoc gang committee over 10 years ago, Warren, looking at the same problems. No one is more painfully aware than I am of how little progress this city has made in truly solving this problem.
What is the relationship that you have now with Janice Hunt on this issue? The Daily News says that you two have been in conversations about
it. Well, I just spoke to her within the hour. She wants me to have the money. I think there's some confusion, it seems, about why I didn't receive the money. She was, I think, waiting to get more information about the scope of work that I was going to do. And I had passed those details off to the chair of that committee probably 4-6 weeks ago.
And that's Councilman Cardenas.
Right.
Okay.
So the scope of work is there. And let me add one other thing. You know, I do guard the independence of the controller's office very carefully. That's what makes our audits have some value is, you know, we're objective, we're independent. I answer to the public. And part of the problems here have also been that the council has asked an awful lot of questions about what are you going to do and how are you going to do it, and we want the details. That's typically not the way I do an audit. I'm not asking permission, and I'm not discussing in great detail with outsiders and other elected officials, and I'm not asking permission. And that's the way the public wants it. That's the way the city charter is set up. So there's been, you know, a little bit of tension over the scope of work. I'm not happy about having to go back to multiple committees and present and have the council shaping the scope of work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again, we're talking with Los Angeles City Controller Laura Chick. Well, another question. 10 years ago, you were on an ad hoc committee on this subject. It is a problem that goes back for generations in Los Angeles. Hasn't it been studied to death? What are you going to do that hasn't already been done? Constance Rice just recently conducted a study. Hers cost $500,000.
Right. Good. Well, hers was a little bit less, but you're asking a valid question. A lot of money, a lot of studies, and I do not believe on studies upon studies collecting dust. So what I'm proposing and what the mayor's asked me to do is not about a study. It's going in and looking at the programs we have and the money we're spending and doing an evaluation against national standards and national programs. You know, are our preventative programs really preventing? Are they achieving? And coming back with, quite frankly, a whole new model of how to deliver and address this problem. And I don't want to redo what Connie Rice did. I'm working hand in hand with her. I very much respect and agree with what she's come back saying. The picture she paints is accurate. So I'm just looking to fill in more of the details, both how we're doing now, helping the mayor and council determine going forward which programs are clearly doing well, which ones we need to give a great assist to or slide out of existence, and then the most important thing, what is the new framework, the new model, the new, what does it look like, how does it work, what are the details? Because I've known for a long time that our community development department needs a complete redo.
Okay. Again, Laura Chick, controller for the City of Los Angeles. Constance Rice is with us. Just mentioned her, a civil rights attorney, a co-director of the Advancement Project, a longtime public involvement in many, many issues, particularly most recently the gang problem. Constance Rice, welcome to you.
Hi, Warren.
What do you think that Laura Chick can do to add to what you have done that would be useful to the council and the mayor?
I think the critical path here, and I think the controller can add a lot of value, is to take whatever money the city has got right now and get a team of experts, not necessarily a traditional consultant auditor, but a team of experts in evaluation of the kinds of gang reduction, intervention, and prevention programs that we were writing about, from the hardcore gang intervention cadre all the way across the spectrum to the more general LA's best, generalized, not gang-focused, but taking a look at what kind of performance criteria, benchmarks, what's a fair evaluation system. We don't have a fair evaluation system, for example, for how to evaluate hardcore gang intervention. Are you measuring whether they avert shootings? Are you measuring whether they stop retaliation shootings? Are you measuring if you stop them from launching a war? How are you evaluating the work, the hardcore gang intervention work, and the police work that goes along with it? What are the standards for that? That does need to be hammered out with experts from UCLA and USC and UC Irvine who do know how to do Operation Ceasefire types of operations, for example, on the hardcore end. And then all the way over to early childhood intervention in communities where you even have toddlers with gang colors on and you know, being taught signs. So, Warren, I think there is a lot that the controller can do. Whatever they do, they don't need to duplicate a strategic analysis, which is what
okay.
we did.
Controller Chick, does that sound like what you
Absolutely.
Have in mind?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And by the way, when I have to have the prime contractor be one of the auditing firms on my pre-approved list, okay, part of the city rules. But the intent always has been, and the understanding has always been, we need the team of subject matter experts. So I think we're very much in sync. I think that's the direction absolutely we need to go in, and that's what my report aims to do. And I think Connie says it better than I can. It's not a true blue evaluation of existing programs because, as she just explained, how do you go in and evaluate programs that were never set up with measurable objectives? But we've got to be able to analyze what's going on now and then to come up with, because I've been working on trying to evaluate programs in the city for over 14 years. you know, gang programs and every other kind of program.
A lot of the programs that you will be evaluating, either directly or indirectly, have city employees working in them, many of them unionized city employees. Do you think that that's one of the reasons, Laura Chick, that your former colleagues on the city council are so concerned about this and want to micromanage it? Are they worried that you might come up with conclusions that would lead people to lose their jobs? Are you worried about that?
Well, you know, I haven't thought so much about the part of people, of city employees losing jobs, but I certainly am aware that these programs employ people and that if programs aren't achieving and the city decides to not continue funding, yeah, that creates a lot of nervousness for people. So, of course, I'm aware of that. I'm also aware that there are elected officials who have programs they're big fans of. You know, that they're convinced that those programs are great, and they wouldn't be happy if I don't want to call it an audit, a study, an evaluation, a report comes out and says, you know, these are not the kinds of programs we need to keep replicating and supporting. I am very aware, this is a hot potato report, that there are a whole lot of stakeholders and involved people who will be watching and who will want to take pot shots at it. That does not, as a matter of fact, if anything, that pulls me in more. That's all the more reason why I know it needs to be done. That's exactly the problems we're trying to solve.
All right, Laura Chick, as always, good to have you with us.
Thank you.
City Controller, City of Los Angeles. Constance Rice, back to you. Since your report was released, there's been a lot of action, at least verbally, on this issue, and the mayor has once again said that this is going to be his number one priority. What's your take on what he's been able to do so far?
Well, it's good that the mayor decided to take leadership on the prevention and intervention side as well as on the hardcore suppression side. You've got to do both. But the problem is that 5 months after this report, there's no strategic execution plan, and I don't think the city fully understands that what we're talking about is not specific programs. There are some good programs out there. There's some bad programs out there. The issue isn't the programs. There's been a lot of good work done. The question is why after 30 years it isn't enough and we have six times as many gangs. And the issue, Warren, is that the programs that we have, there's no paradigm or framework for them to move into that has the ability to deliver neighborhood impact. There's not enough coordination. County and city and LA Unified and LAPD do not work together. There's no strategic violence reduction plan, neighborhood by neighborhood, that can document how the gang activity and violence is being reduced systematically and sustained over a five-year period. To get that kind of impact, Warren, you have to organize every institution in the community and all the civic and faith-based organizations to do a neighborhood impact plan. That is a radical change, and it means using the $1 billion that the county, the city, LA Unified, HACLA, and the city attorney, all of these jurisdictions, they spend over $1 billion a year of taxpayer money on a lot of programs impacting youth, but because it's so disorganized and disparate and they're not coordinated and there's no strategy that focuses on neighborhood impact, Warren, they can't document that they've gotten a single kid out of a gang, which is what our report was talking about. So really, in the 5 months or the 4.5 months since our plan was done, there've been a lot of meetings that have produced nothing. The mayor did come out with a strategy paper that I thought captured the basic concepts, and I thought it was a workable start. But that isn't going to get you to where you want to go, and the amount of money that's in the budget won't even get you an analysis of how to get started. We have costed, for example, the mayor selected 8 clear sites, and we've costed out what it would really take to do those clear sites at a 25%
impact.
What's
a clear site? What does that mean?
It's how he picked the areas that he wants to focus on, which I think is good. We do need a demonstration. We need to show the public that the wraparound saturation strategy that we wrote about can work. We don't know whether it can work. We need to find out. And so the mayor took 8 areas of the city where there are a lot of gang problems, and right now they've got a clear program, which is a prosecutorial crime reduction site that the city attorney's office picks, and it's a good program, but it's a crime suppression program, and the mayor took those sites, and he now wants to try the prevention intervention wraparound strategy in those areas. Well, if you cost out just taking the high schools and the elementary schools and the feeder middle schools, in those clear sites, and that's how you figure out how many kids are at risk of the gangs in those areas. And we've costed it out at 25%, 50%, and 100%. And if you just take the Hollenbeck-Ramona gang reduction zone that the mayor chose, if you just cover 25% of the kids and have 25% impact at that neighborhood, it's going to cost you a minimum of $13 million to do it properly. If you only cover half the kids, keep half the kids safe, and focus on reducing gang activity and gang recruitment for half of the kids in a neighborhood, it's $20 million. If you do 100%, it's $35 million. So if you're going to do this right and you're going to do it for 5 years and sustained impact, we're nowhere near that. I'm hoping the mayor is setting some building blocks, but at this point it's hard to see with $3 million of real new money how you're going to do that.
Let me introduce the next guest, Matt Szabo, who is a spokesperson for the mayor's office. The mayor himself is in Sacramento today lobbying for assistance from the state. Matt Szabo, good to have you with us.
Thanks. Thank you, Warren.
You have said publicly that what the mayor has offered so far is only a down payment. But if it's only $3 million in new money and you need a $13 million just to do 25% of the work in one of the eight sites that has been mentioned, that doesn't sound like much of a down payment.
Well, I think, first of all, it's important to know that, without question, the mayor's proposal has been the most aggressive and coordinated effort to reduce gang violence in a comprehensive way. As Ms. Rice just said, the mayor is, for the first time, aggressively looking at prevention and intervention in addition to justice suppression. And, the mayor holds Ms. Rice in very high regard. Her report was obviously one of the most important studies on this issue to date, and that's exactly why he based his proposal exactly on her recommendations. I mean, the first and most important problem we have in this city is that we don't know how effective the money that we're spending now is in reducing gangs. So this is clearly a start, but the first step is to take account of all the money that we're spending, and that's what the mayor did in this budget. We're going to take account of all the money that we're spending for gang reduction and youth development. We're going to focus it in the neighborhoods that need it the most, the neighborhoods that we're focusing on with suppression, and then we're going to hold those programs to account for effectiveness, and we're going to do that by appointing an anti-gang director who reports directly to the mayor, who will be able to make recommendations on where we need to move funding, how we can spend the money better, how we can get more kids involved, how we can make a bigger impact in reducing gangs. And that's also why it is crucial that the controller play an integral part in this. She has to conduct an evaluation. We have to know if these programs are effective because resources are scarce. And at the end of the day, we simply don't have the resources to spend $1 billion more on $1 billion more of new programs without first knowing exactly what programs work.
Okay. On the issue of the gang directors, you call them gang czar, as some people want to refer to that person, Ms. Rice pointed out, you've got to coordinate the county, the city, the LAPD, all of these various agencies, public and private, there are involved in all of this. Why has it taken so long since Ms. Rice's report, if in fact that's what the mayor's plan is based on, to find somebody to do that?
Well, I think the anti-gang director was part of the new budget. The city council just this week passed the budget, which included the funding for the anti-gang director. He will be announced very soon, and he will get to work as soon after July 1st as possible when funding is in place for that position and for the new programs. And I will say that, I mean, that and one that is the key coordination across jurisdictions, not just locally but at the state and national level, is absolutely key, and international, I might add. In fact, that's why one of the reasons that we're here in Sacramento today, the mayor is aggressively lobbying members of the legislature for additional funding for gang prevention programs from the state, because they must be a player in this as well.
Matt Szabo, once again, spokesperson for Mayor Villaraigosa. Celeste Freeman is a freelance writer, professor at UC Irvine, and fellow at USC. She also blogs at witnessla.com. Celeste Freeman, always good to have you on our program.
Hi, Warren.
Let me ask you this. One of the things the mayor has done, along with Chief Bratton, is to establish the 10 most wanted gang members list, quite a few of which, I believe, five at least, have either been arrested or, in one case, killed by in a shootout with the police. Has that been effective?
Well, I think that as a PR technique perhaps that's been affected. I'm sorry to say that a lot of us sit back and feel like this is a little akin to having the fish on the string in the lake, that every so often you can yank one up. Because, for example, in Hollenbeck, there is a former gang member or a gang member out there who shot a couple of other gang members, and then he believed his girlfriend was going to snitch on him, so he raped, tortured, and killed her. And you know, and there are a lot of worse stories behind just the simple words that I'm saying. He certainly is someone who would be the highest on the list at Hollenbeck, and yet he's nowhere near that top 10 because nobody knows where he is. As a matter of fact, some of the Hollenbeck officers were saying, you know, his nickname is Smiley, that we're having Smiley sightings. He's like Elvis. Instead, we have Monster Cody, who is accused of a robbery, and it's mysterious to me why he would be on a top 10 list and not this other person who is obviously a lot more dangerous. But is it all bad to say, look, we're getting some of the bad guys off the street, and here we're putting people on our list, and then we get them? As a confidence-building technique, maybe it's not the worst thing in the world, that it makes us feel that our department is out there working, because so much of what the LAPD is doing is work under the hood that we can't see. It's a great big department. There have been a lot of improvements, but a lot of them require an inside baseball understanding of the department. So now they're putting out these things on the 10 worst gangs and the 11 worst gangs and the 10 most wanted. And it does seem like a PR technique, but it's not all bad.
You're suggesting that people get on the list or gangs get on the other list because it appears that it's going to be easy to find them.
Well, I think the 10 most wanted gang members, the worst gangs list seems to be a combination of things. There are some obvious candidates, but a lot we all speculate. When I talk to officers on the street, they kind of roll their eyes and say, yeah, well, whoever heard of the La Mirada Locos? I live in Topanga Canyon, and little did I know that one of the most dangerous gangs in Los Angeles County was right down the street from me where I go shopping at the Ralphs, which is the Canoga Park. It's Canoga Park, Alabama, which is on their list. Now, there, I talked with someone from the gang detail in the Valley area, and she said, well, there were some race-related shootings, but there hadn't been a string of homicides. I mean, certainly they're a gang that needs, where real suppression is required, but are they one of the city's most dangerous gangs?
Okay.
I'd sure have a lot on my list.
Celeste Freeman, professor, freelance writer, and author. Matt Sable, back to you in the mayor's office. You understand what Celeste Freeman said about how most of the work that, or much of the work that the police do is undercover. You can't publicize it. Is the 10 most wanted then a device to sort of give the appearance of success in dealing with this problem?
Well, our bottom line goal here is to reduce gang violence, period. And up until this year, the practice of the police has been to be very secretive, to not let anyone know who they're going after, and not to publicize the gangs. And it really hasn't worked. The mayor stands behind Chief Bratton's strategy here. So far, it is working. So far this year, gang violence is down since we announced the suppression strategy in February. And at the end of the day, we want, as Celeste said, we want to let the community know that we are going to address this problem, and we're going to address it seriously. We're going to let them know this is a neighborhood that has too much gang violence. Any gang violence is too much, but the top neighborhoods we're going to go in, and we're going to go in with suppression, but not just suppression, also the services, prevention, intervention, jobs programs that is really needed to rebuild the community. And it is about becoming partners with the community, and that's something that the mayor holds very important to this effort.
Unfortunately, we're just about out of time, but very quickly, Celeste Freeman, this really has to do with the city attorney. What about the injunction, gang injunction, would put the names of people on a list? We've been hearing about welders who are getting union jobs, who are former gang members and so on, but as I understand it, you can't get off that list.
Well, no one has been successful at getting themselves off a gang injunction list, whether they belong on it or not. I mean, we see, you know, little kids who happen to be the brother of somebody, or the gang intervention worker who tried to stop a fight and found himself on the list. And it was terrific to hear that the city attorney had come up with an idea where you could apply to get off the list if you could prove you would fill out an application, and there would be a hearing process where you could actually, if you could prove that you were either not a gang member or you hadn't been a gang member in quite some time, or that you were in no way associated with the gang that was named in the injunction, that there could be a process where you could get off. And this was terrific. It was announced a month ago. Unfortunately, it's like the promise of a Christmas present that then the present is never brought out. I talked to the city attorney's office the other day, and I said, so when is the application going to be out, and when's the protocol going to be ready to go? And they went, well, we don't have a timeline. I said, well, a week, a month, a year? And they went, well, we're trying to get a timeline.
Okay.
And I thought, you know, we'd like to see it. We'd like to see the off-ramp.
We're out of time. Just wanted to mention that. This is all a process we're talking about, of course. We'll talk to the city attorney about that on future programs. Celeste Freeman, thanks for being with us. And Matt Szabo, thanks to you with the mayor's office. We'll look for the gang leader to be appointed before the 1st of July. Constance Rice, good to have you with us. And thanks to our earlier guests, the controller, Laura Chick.
Thank you.
Which Way LA, produced tonight by Dan Konecki and Vanessa Romo, technical director Mike Newport. I'm Warman Alney. Join us again for Which Way LA on 89.9 KCRW.
Which Way LA is made possible in part by the Ralph M. Parsons Foundation, the Nathan Cummings Foundation, the Rosalind and Arthur Gilbert Foundation, and the John Randolph Haynes and Dora Haynes Foundation, which supports study and research into policy issues of the Los Angeles region.